Weekend of March, Saturday and Sunday, cloudy with showers and a high of 80.
The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
1.7 billion were there for his birth. 220 countries tuned in for his first step.
Woohoo!
The world stood still for that stolen kiss. And as he grew, so did the technology. Broadcast live and unedited to an audience around the globe.
Cool, man.
Coming to you now, enclosed in the largest studio ever constructed, and along with the Great Wall of China, one of only two man-made structures visible from space. Now, it's...
I'm Speaking Plainly with Bill Hay.
Talking about. Welcome back. Good evening. It's another edition of I'm Speaking Plainly. You found it. Blew the dust off of it. It was in the archive somewhere. Phone lines are open. 222-TALK, 222-8255. In the studio tonight, Jimmy Hill and Karen Morton on the, what's now, I guess, called the Karen Morton Show.
That was just Marty. Marty always likes to give you trouble.
And so, wait, hang on, Tom. Don't pick it up yet. All right. So now I got one locked in. We're going to Laura. You can go, Tom. We got this phone system. If he picks up one that's not locked in, it'll drop the other and back and forth. So
I
didn't want to drop Lori because Lori's been on hold for a while. Welcome to the show, Lori. Thank you. How you doing?
Thank you. Bill, Karen, and candidate Jim Hill. The polls were closed at 7:46, which kind of freaked me out. It's normally longer than that. Were all the votes counted? That's number one. Number two is, where are they moving the homeless shelters in our communities on this side of the river when they decide to do their mansions over there or hotels? Number three, I love JEA, and losing them is insulting. And what they've done to JEA, I just feel like it's been insulting. We have a lot of trees in my community in Clifton, and they have always been here and restored us immediately, or even captured other states to help us with the storms. So I'm very, very disappointed in this election. And the fourth is, people that don't vote really disturb me.
Okay, Lori. Thank you. We're gonna go down the list with all of your disturbs and calls here.
Just to answer her question really, really quick, the polls have always closed at 7 o'clock on election day.
Well, they close at 7 o'clock, but if you're in line,
if you're in line at 7 o'clock,
right.
the deputy actually gets in line behind the last person. But the polls close at 7.
And right. What she was speaking of is that the last poll that was recorded to be closed was at 7:46.
Yeah, and that's how it can happen.
And let me weigh in on this, too. So part of it was, is, you know, do we trust the system? Yes, 100%. I don't think anything happened in inside the system, the election system itself. No. I think it was because of who set it up and who runs it. I have tremendous faith that we have one of the cleanest election systems in the country, probably.
Yes. Yes.
And so are there anomalies and weirdness? This is the weirdest election I've ever seen in my life, ever. But that's more a condition of the human spirit and the administration that was on the ballot and a lot of other things. So no anomaly that worried me there. So for number one, I think everything worked the way it was supposed to.
Well, we've got to take into account also that Jerry Holland did a phenomenal job of setting up the right software and the right machines and getting things going so that when Mike Hogan took over, it was a smooth process for him. It was kind of ironic that the election officials from Broward County were in Jacksonville to look over what we did here.
Yes.
To make sure that they could model what they do down there.
Right.
Against what we do here.
Right.
So
Duval County was indeed
what were the other two?
Most
were there the other three things that she had?
She was talking about where they're going to move the homeless,
and homeless.
She loves the JEA.
Yep. Yeah, I don't think there's much we can do about where they move the homeless without a voice. So
here's a real interesting thing. We can find 15 without a voice, we're mute. We can find $15 million to pay
in one day.
In
a meeting.
To buy out the landing. Yeah. And I don't begrudge Tony Slaman at all for making that money.
Genius.
I think he deserves it for all of the free stuff he's done over the years. So, I'm all in favor of that.
I think we all agree that you know, we didn't want to see him be the next business crushed by this administration.
Right, exactly. So we have River Regions. We have the Sulzbacher. We have Clara White Mission. And we have the Salvation Army. So we have four major homeless shelter providers downtown. If we were able to give each one of those homeless shelter providers $5 million, well, there's $20 million. And we give them $5 million just kind of as a payoff and say, look, we're going to go out way out West Main Street, which is where Sulzbacher has moved their family apartment complex to. They have built a beautiful family apartment complex way out near 66th and Pearl.
Wow.
But if we gave each one of them $5 million and then on top of that worked out an agreement with them and said, look, we're going to build you a $2 million building, which you can do a lot building a $2 million dormitory somewhere out, either way out North Main or out West Beaver. And whichever way you want to go, Sulzbacher, you want to go to Beaver, Clara White, you go to North Main, and just get them out of downtown. Just like, you know, when you've got your garbage cans sitting next to your home and the raccoons are getting in them, if you move your garbage cans to the far corner of your property, trust me, the raccoons are going to follow the cans.
So the yes. downside to that is the neighbor in that corner is now going to be the unhappy. And that's the problem with the whole situation. There's going to be a neighbor everywhere, and that's the problem. We could spend three shows on homeless and not even make a scratch in it, I think. But I did want to, if I could, Bill, can I jump off the subject here for 2 seconds?
Sure. And so, Don Redman, I know you're on one. I'll get to you in just quick. And Jose, I'm sorry, but Jose wanted to talk about the legal, illegal. So we'll touch on that later.
Definitely, absolutely. So I just wanted to take a second. I came into the show, you know, I was on the couch and relaxing for a minute, and I got an invitation to come. And this is important. This is what I really wanted to do. And this show is funny because it'll just be over with when you blink, it's done. So I wanted to jump in and do this. I wanted to say thank you. There were thousands of people that helped us do this. And I want to thank them for being engaged. I wanted to thank them for their passion on their subjects, that each person had something that drove them to try to make a change. And that's what this whole system's about. And I just wanted to genuinely say thank you to everyone that helped us try to change the system. We're not discouraged. We knew it was a long shot. I literally never knew for sure that we'd win. I just knew we were supposed to run. And that's what I've said along the way. And I wanted to thank you personally, because in the media outlets that exist, you were the only one that gave a voice to everybody in the campaign regularly and intentionally and from the beginning to the end. And that was very brave of you. And I know you're catching flack for it a little bit too. And to all those people who've been threatened and who've been kind of harassed at, you know, post, I think it'll go away, and the pettiness of the people involved in that will show up, and something will happen to take them off the table. But to everyone that worked hard, thank you, and thank you for giving me a minute to do that, Bill. It's really important to me.
It's not a problem, and obviously you're welcome in the studio anytime. And we do try to. I even reached out to the Curry campaign. I was told back during the HRO vote and the Say Yes to Jacksonville vote, a couple of years ago now. It's been at least a couple of years ago.
Right.
I was told that it would be a cold day in colorful expletives. By Brian before Mayor Curry would ever be on my show. And I've reached out to him several times, and it always rolls to voicemail.
I think ultimately he's going to have to get rid of Curry. I mean, Curry's going to have to ditch him. He's just such a liability. He's causing him so much trouble. He was literally making fun of him at the debate, up in the audience in the back. I had people sitting next to him just appalled that he was actually making fun of his boss publicly.
Yeah. Hughes was making fun of the mayor the mayor was speaking during the debate.
I don't know why he would do that, but that was what I was told.
That the vote came down on moving the Craig Runway extension resolution, the next morning he sent me a tweet that I'm going to take was heartfelt, but to get a tweet from Brian the next day is just kind of...
It's always a joy.
It wasn't a tweet. It was a direct text message.
Oh, been there. Yeah.
You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. We'll be right back.
It's amazing, but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, healthcare, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your healthcare. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year. A month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow. For the longest time, I've wanted to come out with the world's most comfortable bed sheets. But up until now, I haven't been able to find anything that held up to my high standards. I've finally found the best cotton in the world in a region where the Sahara Desert, the Nile River, and the Mediterranean Sea all come together to create the ideal weather conditions for growing cotton. My new Giza Dream bed sheets are made with this long staple cotton, and I guarantee they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. The first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else.
The Giza Dream sheets are available in a variety of colors, and like all of Mike's products, they come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Right now, you can get your very own by calling 800-950-9024 and use promo code WBOB to get 30% off plus free shipping.
Single family houses and apartments are the key to passive income, aka retirement. No one knows this better than America's most successful investor educator, national radio host, self-made multimillionaire, CEO, and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley. Del is sending his team out across the country. Meet them live in a city near you, one day only. Check the schedule and claim your seats at retireinfiveyearsorless.com. Attend for free. Register at retireinfiveyearsorless.com. Limited seating, unlimited potential. Register today at retireinfiveyearsorless.com.
Does your roof need replacing, your house need cleaning, or maybe you're ready to update your kitchen? Big or small, whatever your home improvement need, log on to home.servicemagic.com. Service Magic is a free online resource with instant access to pre-screened remodelers, maids, handymen, painters, and many other home contractors. It's easy and it's free. Just go to home.servicemagic.com. Home.servicemagic.com. That's home.servicemagic.com.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. I got it right that time.
Good hey. Evening. Yep.
Sun's still up. Beautiful day, but I got it right. Good evening. 7:20 it is technically evening. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plenty. Don Redman on the line. Let's go to Don. Don, welcome to I'm Speaking Plenty. One of my best first celebrity guests ever. Back from the 9 o'clock show, early in the morning. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good, Bill. Thanks for hearing me. I just wanted to thank Jimmy for all the time that I spent with him. He was a real gentleman, did a great job. I was pulling for him the whole way. And hello, Karen. I appreciate Karen. She has done a great job with the Republican Party and for all of us there.
Thank
so
you,
just wanted to thank say you, to them and thank you for
same back to you, Don. You are a true citizen patriot, and thank you for everything you did in both your career as a council person and in this run. You put a ray of sunshine in this run.
And I truly envision the fact that Don Redman's name's going to appear on a campaign sign again in a couple of years. I can pretty much count on that. Hope
Don
so.
Redman is a good
Hope
man.
Hope so.
Good man. Very good. Well,
can't knock me down that fast. That's right.
No, I'm glad you're out there pitching for all of us, Don. You've always been a stand-up guy. You've definitely taken your Christian attitude and haven't run from your responsibilities, and the council will be at a loss for the next few years until we can get you back up there in one of those leather chairs. Don, thanks for your call tonight. I really appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you, Bill.
See you, man. Bye-bye. What a fantastic man.
He's truly a
great Jacksonville citizen.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, he truly is. He's fantastic.
And you know what? He's a bicyclist too. He works out more than I do.
It's true. I know. He's everywhere. And I'll tell you something else he's dedicated to is the school system and our school children here in Duval County. He works with a lot of groups. He always attends every graduation of the schools here in town.
Wow.
He does a lot that he never gets credit for, but he's a good guy.
Fantastic. All right, so we're gonna take another call here real quick. I'm not exactly sure who's up on the computer, but you're on the air. Hello, who is this?
Hey Bill, this is Mike.
Hey Mike.
Listen, I'm sorry, I just tuned in a few minutes ago, and I heard you talking about Salisbury homeless centers and those things like that. I didn't get all your conversation, but I heard you select a couple of places, the locations, or suggest.
Right.
And I kind of wonder how you came by those locations.
Okay. I can tell you, thank you, Mike. I appreciate the call. I can tell you, when Sheriff Rutherford was here in town, mm-hmm. he had selected out for what's called a misdemeanor releasing center. And here's the thing. If you're homeless and sleeping in a doorway, mm-hmm. believe it or not, if you don't have a dollar or an ID, that's actually a misdemeanor. It's actually something you're supposed to have. This is going back to almost the old days where the Germans would walk up and say, "Let me see your papers."
Yeah,
you know?
Really.
But you are actually supposed to have some form of ID, verifiable ID. And believe it or not, there's also another little law that's not enforced that you're supposed to always have at least a dollar.
Really?
Yeah. It was a way to make contact with individuals. Yeah, well, we all have debit cards
okay.
now.
Yeah.
But it was a way to make contact with individuals, to fill out a contact card or to, you know, find out whether or not they were wanted for something. But anyway, he had talked about doing a misdemeanor releasing facility out west on I-10.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of stuck with me, because when you truly do travel west out on 10, almost to the Baker County line, there are all sorts of places out there that are available to build these kind of facilities. And then I started thinking about the equestrian center. You know, we've got the equestrian center. We've got all those stalls out there that could easily be converted to dormitory-style sleeping rooms.
Right.
And of course, the big arena could be divided up into day rooms and things of that nature, because no one uses the equestrian center anyway.
I don't know.
I mean, truly, it's never been used
and
like
it was
intended.
And the keyboard lights up.
Right. But,
yeah, really.
It's never been used the way it was supposed to be used.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't be opposed to have – if you've ever been to the Equestrian Center, there's a huge wooded field out there, or a huge cleared field with trees and nice shade where they park all the horse trailers when they're doing an event, or when they did the one or two events that they've done over the last 20 years. But, you know, why not have that as almost like a KOA campground for the homeless? They've got all these little homeless tent cities, and there's one in Arlinghood. There's another one over in the west side.
Mm-hmm.
There's some out near Jackie Seafood on the edge of Trout River. So why not put them together and make them like a homeless camp, but make it really a nice one. Put some water in, put some little barbecue places, like just make like a KOA campground and say, okay, if you guys want to be chronically homeless, here's a place for you to be chronically homeless. And the sheriff had a good idea, because it's a long walk from there back to Hemming Plaza in downtown.
Yeah.
So that's how I came up with that. And then, of course, also, those folks need services.
Sure.
They need to have access to medical care. Most of them go to Shands anyway, which is out there near 8th.
Right.
So if you built a facility out West Main Street, it's an easy walk, bike ride, or whatever to the medical services you need at Shands. I mean, it's not being mean or anything. It's just getting people out of the core downtown. I've been to, in my career, I've been blessed to be able to fly to other cities all over this country. And I will tell you straight up, honestly, I have been to places and never seen a homeless person.
Well,
now, New York City is bad, because when you go into the city, when you actually go into New York, the New Yorkers there are so used to the homeless sleeping on the sidewalk, sleeping on the park benches.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a guy talking on a cell phone. I worked there giving some helicopter tours in 1994. And I watched a guy walking from a hotel to the 57th Street helipad because he was walking the same place I was. This guy's drinking a coffee, talking on a cell phone, one of those big brick phones, you know, yeah. One of those big, huge ones. And there was a homeless guy laying on a heater grate. This guy was walking, took a step over the dude, never missed a beat, never spilled his coffee, nothing. He just yep. and kept right on going. And the homeless guy laying on the grate never even moved.
Yep.
He just knew that people would step over him.
Yep.
And I feel bad for those folks. The ingenuity of sleeping on a grate like that always means that you got warm air coming up from the subway below. But to have to, that's your life?
Yeah.
We can talk about it, but let's see what happens. Let's see what they do. Because the thing is we're not in the conversation.
No.
That's problem. True. We could come up with the answer, but no one's going to know it because they're not open to the public's input on it. That's the issue.
And the Sulzbacher keeps building more and more stuff down by Maxwell House. They now have what they call the homeless rest stop.
Right.
Which is, yeah, Mayor Curry went in and cut the ribbon on it himself.
Oh, jeez.
It's a place where you can go and take a shower.
Oh.
You can have an email address there. You can hang out all day. There are books to read. It's basically a way to legally be a derelict.
Wow.
My heart goes out to some of them because they truly do suffer from.
Yes.
Most chronically homeless also have some mental affliction.
Yes.
There's either addiction or mental illness in the larger portion. That's a given. It's for sure. The question is, and this has been my position the whole time, you know, as a emergency responder, we went to a lot of homeless, and here's how it went down. Someone had given them money, enough to make it to eat, and they ate, or they had enough to drink, and by that I mean they were drunk, and they would attempt to stay on the street, and it would freeze, and it would rain. And then they would call us because they were going to die, you know, freeze to death in the rain. And the problem is enabling people to remain homeless is not the answer. That's the bottom line.
I've said it for years.
That's the answer.
Hunger is a great motivator. This, you want to talk about getting the keyboard or the phone system to light up? Man, when I first
I'm not sure that's where I want to go with this.
Well, when I first really? Went to Knights years ago.
But it's a fact.
Hunger is a great motivator. Mm-hmm. So here's what happens. You cut off all these programs that provide. We call them squirrel feeders.
So I don't know if that's the answer. I just know that giving them the bare minimum to remain on the street is society may have to engage in removing them and force treatment on the mentally ill and force addiction treatment on the addicted.
Well, we had that until Bill Clinton took over, and then he got rid of all the state mental hospitals and said, you know, if they're not a danger to themselves, you can't hold them.
Yep, but. Did I say thank you to everybody that helped me out?
You did.
Okay.
try to get that in real quick before I go on my diatribe of hunger is a great motivator.
Before you go into character again and
no, I'm not going to go into character. I mean, it's just when you think about it, if we keep giving people reasons, I mean, you didn't know me,
right?
But when I first went to Knights, Karen knew this. I didn't shave for about a week. I put on grubby old nasty clothes, old jeans, messed up really bad, parked down by what is Maxwell House Coffee, and then walked all the way to what was the old Greyhound bus station.
Right.
And I was homeless for a night. And I met some guys and hung out with them, and man, they taught me the ropes. There are trails downtown through alleyways.
Absolutely. It's a society.
Places where you can sleep.
Inside of a society. Yeah.
The next morning, they knew where to go to get free breakfast, and then after that, you could line up and get free lunch.
At the beach, there's a pecking order, and they will beat you down if you take a corner that's not yours. I mean, it's an entire society that is hidden from the general public.
I did it two times, and the really sad thing is I went back to do it a third time about a year ago. And some of the homeless guys knew who I was, and that was it. As soon as they recognized me, they blew my cover, and I had to walk all the way back to Maxwell House, get in my car, and go home because I certainly
wasn't.
Bill,
how much money did you make?
Busted.
Nothing. Nothing. I had my little cardboard sign, though. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill. Hey, phone lines are open. 222-TALK, 222-8255. We'll be right back.
AM 600.
101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRockstra. Some have framed Robert Mueller's work as a battle of good and evil of biblical proportions. After 675 days, the special counsel rested, but with few details emerging, the report is now in the hands of Attorney General William Barr, who says he's not releasing any information today. Meanwhile, House Democrats are plotting their next strategy on how to deal with the report. Speaker Nancy Pelosi telling fellow Democrats on a conference call she'll fight any efforts by the Justice Department for a classified briefing of congressional leaders. Pelosi reportedly warning colleagues that that could be an effort to keep the report from going public. Democrats continue to call for transparency, and the House voted unanimously earlier this month for Attorney General Barr to make as much of the report public as allowed by law. Head to the Sweet 16, LSU, who beat Maryland today, Kentucky, who downed Wofford. This is SRN News.
My name is Miranda, and I am in the Life Builders program at City Rescue Mission. I have struggled with depression, self-harm, and suicidal thoughts since I was very young. I got married and pregnant at a young age, and for a while, I was finding my worth in men. My mom and brother had been through the Life Builders program here at City Rescue Mission, so I came looking for help. I truly appreciate the counselors and also my ministry assignment. I've never had structure or routine in my life. My ministry assignment is my responsibility, and it is something I take pride in. I am also just one test away from completing my GED, which I don't think I could have done without the City Rescue Mission. I'm thankful for City Rescue Mission and the relationship I now have with Jesus.
I'm Penny Kievit, Executive Director for the City Rescue Mission. Would you consider helping us make a difference as we provide hope, healing, and change to those who need it most? Visit us at crmjax.org. That's crmjax.org to learn more, or to make a donation to help transform the lives of the hungry, homeless, and addicted in Northeast Florida.
Dr. Jean A. Youngblood, president of Conservative Theological University, invites you to expand your biblical knowledge and earn your certified AA through PhD degree with CTU. If you're considering ministry or if you're already serving in ministry, you should consider completing your studies with CTU, located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, in the Mandarin community. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for your interview appointment today.
American Electrical knows the people they hire are their most valuable resource. And if you're an electrician that feels a little underappreciated at your current job, then you need to apply at American Electrical. Simply put, people who come to work at American Electrical never leave because the job is that good. Extremely good pay and great benefits, including a bonus plan for all employees. Work with the best and be the best at American Electrical. Drop by their offices on St. Augustine Road or call 737-7770.
Are you guys looking for a morning show that is fast-paced, entertaining, and gives you all the news without all the nonsense involved? Listen to Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, Monday through Friday, right here on FM 101.1 AM 600, Talk Radio WBOB, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., Roger.
And we value your input as well, so feel free to call in.
That's right, mornings from 6 to 9 a.m., Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, on FM 101.1 AM 600, Talk Radio WBOB.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
The 7-day extended Jacksonville forecast. Tonight clear and cool, low 53. Sunny again tomorrow and 77. Sunday night partly cloudy, dropping to 58. Monday sunshine, 81 the high. Partly sunny Tuesday in the mid-70s. Wednesday a mix of sun and clouds with a breeze and cooler, only 64. Mostly sunny Thursday and Friday, topping out at 75. The last weekend of March, Saturday and Sunday, cloudy with showers and a high of 80.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. Halfway through tonight's show, and it's just apropos, big word, went to public school, look that one up. It's yeah, apropos nice. That while we were off the air, we were talking, and when we went to break, we were talking about the homeless situation. And Jimmy Hill and Karen Morton here with me in the studio, and I'm proud and happy to have both of them here. But Patty wrote in and said, Bill, you're absolutely right. We've got to stop giving these people excuses to not work. There are plenty of able-bodied homeless that just choose not to because they've lost hope. So let's think about that for a minute. If you've lost hope, mm-hmm. let's say you had a family, and alcoholism, or for whatever reason, you lost your job, you lost your home, you lost your wife, she took the kids, she left, she said, you know, no more of you, deadbeat, you're, you know, I'm out of here, moved in with her mom and dad. Now you got no family, you got no job, you move to the street, you get what you can from the street, because really we're all one or two paychecks, unless you've inherited money. Yep. You're one or two paychecks away from being broke.
Yep.
By today's society. But, you know, how do we prevent people that are able-bodied from falling into the habit of just saying, eh, it's good enough. You know, I got a warm place to sleep if I get in line. You know, when you come by the city rescue mission and you're coming down Union Street and you see the line, they have to get in line at 1 o'clock to get their name on the list at 2 for a bed that night. And you see the line every day is 100 people deep with their duffel bags ready to go. But many of those guys are able-bodied and could work if they wanted to.
It speaks to society as a whole. I mean, let's look at the entire nanny state situation as a whole. I mean, it's just different levels of acceptance of checking out of society and quite frankly, checking out of the capitalist system. Yeah, you have to either participate, or at some point socialism creeps in and you get these layers, different layers of non-participation, and eventually the whole thing collapses. I mean, let's look at the big picture. And the idea is to not allow and not to encourage. And we have a president who's doing a really good job of eliminating the wholesale, you know, nanny state. He's working on it at every different angle. Homelessness will decrease as a result of that also. Then you have to deal, eventually this nation has to deal with mental illness, I mean, and addiction. I've always said, and I think I said it on this show one time, you know, Reagan did a great thing. Russia collapsed, but it was more vodka that collapsed Russia. Addiction caused a greater harm to Russia than capitalism. And economically, they collapsed because they had an entire population addicted to drinking. And that was the common story in the 80s and through the 90s. And then they dealt with it. And I don't know exactly how they did, but, and they're still not solved, but it's way better than it was.
Well, you know, on the Indian reservations, the American Indian reservations, alcoholism is so rampant that they've outlawed alcohol on the Indian reservations.
There's a great video showing an Indian reservation as a perfect model for socialism, and it's an absolute eye-opener. Right. It's the most informative short video. If you haven't seen that video, go look up on probably on YouTube now. But comparing the reservation to socialism, it's incredibly informative. It tells the story, and it ties these things that we're saying down. You know, and homelessness is the easy thing to talk about, but the decay of the American, you know, nuclear family is another whole subject that ends up leading to homelessness, because the society and the culture allows failure. It actually encourages failure.
Right.
So that's not good. We have to fix that.
When we look at the state of Alaska, the largest state in our union, alcoholism is rampant in some of the original indigenous Eskimo tribes. We have Alaskan state troopers up there that are constantly dealing with bootleg alcohol.
Right.
Bringing alcohol into the state is illegal. Mm-hmm. And you've got guys up there that will work all week long and make, you know, enough to be able to pay $100 for a liter of rot gut liquor.
But I mean,
it's not even good stuff.
Here's the thing that really needs to be constantly revisited is it's orchestrated. Believe it or not, it's all part of a plan. The more people that can be put on the dole, the more people that fail, the more the progressive movement gains ground. And this is what this whole conversation is about. Homelessness is just another layer of it. And then there's another whole issue that I'll peel open a can of worms. If we're going to talk about the most controversial, I got 4 years for people to forget this stuff if I ever do run again. So it's really important. The victimization of a nation. We are wholesale selling the idea that we're all victims, including your public servants and your military now are the next in line to be called the next layer of victims. We're all victims of something, and the more medication they can give us for whatever victimized us, the more control they have over us. And it's disgusting for me to watch many firefighters, many police officers fall victim to this wholesale orchestrated selling of being a victim. If you're a victim, you need to get out of those professions immediately. If you're finding yourself in need of some form of counseling or something, then you're just in the wrong job. And both of those jobs you can step out of. Military, I give them a break because you commit to a period of time and you have to be there. And if you have PTSD issues, that's understandable. But I think there's a layer of it there. It's being sold. I've talked to a lot of veterans who agree with me that it's now become profitable to be a victim if you're a veteran. They make it where you can actually benefit financially from it. That is an absolute travesty. And there will be people who say, well, no, it's legitimate. It is legitimate, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that next layer of tens of thousands of people being put on medication. Ultimately, many of them led to suicide because of the medication as a result of this industry that has developed into making the nation victims. And we're not. This is America. We are not victims. We're the opposite of that. And I kind of talk directly to my public safety brothers and sisters. Don't fall for the trap. It's a program we're being pushed into, and fight it as hard as you can.
Let's talk to Jay real quick. Jay's got he wants to talk to us about the equestrian scenario. Jay, welcome to I'm Speaking Plainly.
Good afternoon. I just want to disagree with you on the use of the equestrian scenario. It gets used all the time. People don't know you can get free. You can go out there and see most of the stuff. They do horsemanship out there. They do region. They're big in the Southeast. They got 422 stalls out there for horses now.
Wow.
They've got an RV park, and they're busy almost every week of the year. They have something going on out there. You can go out there. Most of them are no admission, like the horsemanship and the dressage stuff. I mean, I'm not an equestrian, but I've been out there and watched them go through the paces. But there's something going on out there. People don't really realize what's going on out there.
Well, we don't hear much about it being marketed, and I know that Jacksonville's right. Not a huge horse market like Ocala is.
It's not being marketed. They're not marketing to locally. It's marketed in these equestrian magazines and stuff. I think they're marketing in the region. Mm. But we're pulling, they're coming from New York down here during the wintertime to train their horses and stuff.
Wow.
Wow. Okay. Well, you shed light on a new thing, but 422 stalls when there's no horses going on, we can have that homeless campground I was talking
put
about.
Put them in their 12 by 12 stalls.
There you go. Bigger than a prison cell. Thanks, Jay. Appreciate your call. Yeah. That's a Hay, H-A-Y. The phone number is... yeah. But, you know, Jay, I appreciate that insight. I had no... You know, you never hear about it being used.
No, never do. Yeah. They don't do the big events and that kind of thing.
Which we looked at it. We looked at it real hard. The RV show still uses it. There's a bunch of events that do still use it. We're kind of... So it's such a big county that we don't consider driving over there.
Yeah.
But... There are a lot of things. I actually had a couple of ideas for events. The problem is it's low land, and if it rains, it's muddy, so that excludes it from a lot of other things. Mm. If they could address that issue, they'd probably get a lot more use. But, you know, it's one of those deals they're not trying to use it a lot. I mean, when I say that, it's probably paying its bills, and it's government subsidized, so it doesn't, you know, it doesn't help anybody to create a ton of work. Staff was awesome out there. They do a good job. But you're right, it could be used more. I don't know about the homeless thing, though. That might not be the best facility for that.
No.
But let's go over to, let's move it to the airport. There's big hangars we could use.
No. Hey, yeah. You know what? I'm all over that, too.
Yeah, somebody recently said that we should take the schools that we're trying to rebuild schools. We'll take the old ones and make them into homeless.
Tom from yeah, Densmore early. Mentioned that, and I think that's a
excellent opportunity. Also, Cecil Field, not Craig, though.
Okay, that's fine. Cecil. And there's plenty of room out at Cecil also, but of course we're developing Cecil into being the next spaceport. What a joke!
What?
Oh well, they're going after a spaceport classification because they want to use assisted launch. They have a company Pegasus that's coming in and wants to do assisted launching. Basically, you have a getaway package with an SRB, a solid rocket booster on it. You put it on the wing of a Challenger, or in this particular case, I think they were going to use Falcon 900s, and they take off conventionally with this thing on the wing of an airplane, fly it up to 40,000 feet, and then they drop it off the wing and light the burner, and it goes on up to 100,000.
Hey, that's going to sound great in those houses. You're going to wish you had a longer runway then.
Well, what's going to be really bad at Cecil is that they're you know anticipating the use of monomethylhydrazine and nitrogen tetroxide, which... really, really nasty
that's
stuff.
That's not good.
Yep. So, we're not going to turn this into a space race program, but you're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill Hay. Jimmy Hill and Karen Morton joining me in the studio. Phone lines open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. We'll be right back.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, healthcare, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your healthcare. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Friday, March 29th at 7:30 p.m. and Saturday, March 30th at 7 p.m. It's the Jacksonville Icemen versus the Atlanta Gladiators at Veterans Memorial Arena. Friday, March 29th at 8 p.m. and Saturday, March 30th at 8 p.m. The Jacksonville Symphony presents Frank and Ella at Jacoby Symphony Hall. And Saturday, March 30th from 9 to 1, it's the Fernandina Beach Marketplace Farmers Market on North 7th Street in Fernandina Beach.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Hi, it's Mac with Baker Glass. If you're having trouble finding a clear option for that new shower enclosure or a replacement for that fog glass, then call the Baker Boys or find us at BakerGlassInc.com. That's BakerGlassInc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better. Hi, this is Mac with Baker Glass, where we use our more than 32 years of experience to provide a complete glass service to all of our customers and a clear choice for you. See for yourself at BakerGlassInc.com. That's BakerGlassInc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better.
Anytime is a great time to give flowers to the ones you love. At Kuhn Flowers, we know that all too well. That's why we offer the longest-lasting, most beautiful floral arrangements in Jacksonville. Kuhn Flowers has the perfect flower arrangements for birthdays, holidays, good days, and even bad days. Show that special someone just how much you care with a gift of flowers from Kuhn Flowers. Call us today at 398-8601. That's 398-8601. Or shop online anytime at kuhnflowers.com.
Ramona Flea Market has stuff, new stuff, used stuff, fun stuff, kid stuff, stuff to put stuff in, stuff to build stuff with. And who needs all that stuff? You! And what do you do when you have too much stuff? Sell your stuff at Ramona Flea Market. Open every Saturday and Sunday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Book your space now. Call 904-786-3532. Ramona Flea Market, Ramona Boulevard near I-10 and 295.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Said, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. We're going to take a phone call kind of on a different subject, but we're still open to anything. From Nick. Nick wants to know my thoughts on illegals getting a license in the state of Florida. Are you talking about a driver's license, Nick?
Yeah, there's a bill going through, I heard, on one of the news stations. It's going through to see if they can get approved licenses for illegals that are here in the state.
Nick? Hello? All right. Well, I think we dropped Nick, and there was nobody touched the phone, and we still dropped Nick. So yeah. I'm sorry, buddy.
I can tell you exactly what he's talking about, and I can tell you exactly why that bill was put out there. There is a bill that has been going through the process in Tallahassee for sanctuary city bans,
mm-hmm.
and while there are very few cities or counties that call themselves sanctuary, in reality only 29 of our 67 counties have an agreement in place to recognize and comply with immigration detainers. So when people are criminally active, they're here illegally, and they are criminally active, they get arrested for something. When you get booked and fingerprinted, it goes into the computer, and a lot of agencies are notified, including immigration. And immigration can turn around and go, hey, this is somebody that we want, detain them for us. Or if they're about to be released from prison, you're supposed to notify all these agencies, we want that person detained for possible deportation. Only 29 of our 67 counties currently really comply with that. So this bill takes care of that. It says you will comply, period.
But what about the driver's license?
Well, wait a minute. If you don't comply, then the attorney general can come and do all kinds of things, and there's civil action. That bill is going through committees, and it will most likely pass. And the governor has already said he wants it to pass. One of the issues that the illegal aliens in this state have, and many legislators who listen to that population, is that they don't want to be deported just because they were driving without a license. All I was doing was taking my kids to school every day. All I was doing was driving to work.
Okay.
Well, you're here illegally.
Stop. Well, first of all, why are they allowed to take their kids to school?
Good question. That's my question. But this is their argument. You know,
this onion has a lot of pedals.
Oh, I'm telling you. That we were sitting there. I went to the hearings, and we're sitting there and listening to this, and it's like, oh, my God. You know, exactly. Why are your kids in school? Why are you here? But they cannot drive without a license. And they said, we're not doing anything that is dangerous for people. We're not doing, except for driving without insurance. We're not doing, we're not involved in violent crime. We're just driving. And so, we don't want to be deported because we get pulled over. What if we get pulled over because our taillight is out?
So,
well,
you know what?
Like, that's difficult. You're here illegally. So this bill, because the Sanctuary City ban is going to go through. This bill is in response to that, saying, okay, well, let's see if we can get this passed and let these people have driver's
licenses.
Well, I hope
it doesn't pass.
I do too.
You know, Jimmy, if I ask you how many our entire southern border, now think about this, our entire southern border, how many interactions do you believe that CPB, Customs and Border Protection, how many interactions do you believe that they had between, and I have to look this up, it was in 2018, it was like from July 2018 until January 2019. So 6 months.
I'm totally guessing 10, 12,000 probably, more.
41,000, mm-hmm. 41,000, and none of those were at ports of entry.
They were just on the
streets.
Just coming across the border.
On the border, coming over the border. Non-port of entry. That's impressive. That means, the real numbers weigh more than double.
Right.
For the most
part, and this is coming from the General Accounting Office. It doesn't have any partisanship. It's not pro Trump. It's not pro Hillary. It's nothing.
Let's let's talk about that.
Just
reality. Because that's what this is all about. I mean, I'll share with you what I think it's about. It's about setting up a future voting bloc that will vote in favor of progressive socialism.
Right.
And
people
focus on the issue and not the long-term goal. It is to load the ballot for progressive socialist agenda-driven candidates going forward.
Exactly.
Because it's about putting more people on the dole. It's about making more of the same exact mindset that got me the nasty little note that you shared with me. It's about the victimization of a nation. And if they're victims, and that's what the media is setting them up to be, as victims, just like what I was talking about a minute ago before the nasty little note that you shared with me. So it is exactly what I was saying. We are being manipulated. This country's being pushed in the direction of a progressive socialist on the dole population. And that's what immigration is about right now. And a lot of people fail to get to the bottom line. They talk about the economic. It's not about economics. It has an effect, but that's not what this is about. This is about changing the voting bloc in giant, mostly conservative, mostly red states, Texas being targeted the most, Arizona, and eventually Florida. Florida's just a peninsula, so it's not as much. But it's going to weigh into our elections. It guaranteed.
Have quite a bit.
Well, yeah. They're being bussed in. It's funny.
No, in addition to that, because we don't have E-Verify.
Well,
in this state, and all of the other states in the southeast do. So if you're here illegally and you want to work, they funnel to Florida.
And don't think for a second that the situation in Puerto Rico doesn't play into it.
Right.
Although it's a territory and not an illegal immigration system, it's a voting block loading scenario. And, I understand it. I get it. Everybody gets it. It makes perfect sense if you're trying to win an election going forward into the foreseeable future. you get as many people that will vote for you any way you can. And that's what's happening. They're doing it. It's clearly being done.
And well, and if you give them a driver's license and they're here illegally, it makes it even easier, more comfortable to live here. It's the person who put that bill in is a Democrat who was on the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Well, it shouldn't have any chance of passing.
And it probably won't.
Well, here's how they run.
Because of the makeup of the
Senate
the
legislature.
Right. But that doesn't, you know, it's always a possibility.
So I think, but here's the thing. We have to control the narrative. Let's become fans of legal immigration. Let's not talk about illegal immigration. Let's become rabid fans of legal immigration and indoctrination into the system with an education the way it used to be, because I can guarantee you in this process, the one thing I took away from this is the most ferocious patriotic Americans in Duval County are foreign-born patriotic Americans.
Yes.
They are the ones who are absolutely fiercely defending the American way have an accent in this county. And it's such an interesting thing to watch them screaming at Caucasian 5th, 10th, 20th generation Americans saying you're losing your country because you're not paying attention. It's really interesting to watch. Anybody involved in politics has met those people who understand what's at stake. They understand what's at risk. They've been in these countries that are being vacated, and they understand mostly the progressive socialist threat. And that's going to be my bell, you know, the thing that rings my bell every time is what's the end goal? What's the end thing? And that's what the immigration issue is about. It's about winning elections, you know, not now, but in the future.
I have a very good friend who went to school actually with you at Parker, a couple of years behind me, moved to the U.S. Virgin Islands, St. Croix, and just is amazed when he's sitting around a watering hole on the island and something about illegal immigration or anything with respect to the mainland United States comes up, and the number of people that just don't understand that we can't, for some reason, the folks here can't see the writing on the wall,
right,
that we are very quickly losing our country.
Right.
We've been conditioned to believe that.
And I think the thing is, and that's the thing I was getting at, is we can control that. We just have to champion the message, and we need to be very pro-immigration. Let them stop calling us anything but pro-immigration. Just do it through the process. There is a process, and it works. It's amazing. It's built this country into the diverse, amazing culture that it has. It's why this is the most sought-after place to live, you know, for generations.
But if we go pro-immigration.
Legal immigration. There's the key. Legal immigration.
Pro-legal
and what
immigration.
That gives you is it gives you contact. It gives you the ability to message as they come in to teach them how to properly be American. And then you launch them into a capitalist system, and capitalism will win every single time if you launch them into that. But if you put them on the dole, if you put them on the government dole, put them on the tit of the government, and you're never going to actually get this country back.
My issue with that is we'll have hundreds of thousands of people a year with nowhere to go, nowhere to live, no way to assimilate, no way to speak the language. We'll be overrun with...
I'm not saying open the floodgates. I'm saying do it. Just own it. Let's just own it and pay what it takes to do it legally and make the capacity higher to let people in if that's what we have to do. But then you got it. There's a whole other issue, though. Let's talk about
talk about when we get back.
The damage done to these countries are leaving.
You're listening to I'm Speaking Plenty. I'm your host, Bill Hay. Phone lines open.